Welcome to the Connected for Real podcast. I'm Revetzin Batren Grossman, a marriage coach for women in business. And my mission is to bring God's presence into your life, into your marriage, and into your business. Let's get started. And we are live! Welcome everyone to the Connected for Real podcast. I'm Revetzin Batren Grossman, and today with me is Pessy, and she's going to introduce herself, and then we're going to get right into the topic, femininity and God. So Pessy, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. My name is Pessy Schwartz. I think that there's one word to describe my passion, that is the cycle. And it has so many meanings, so many different ways of understanding it. But specifically in our body, our menstrual cycle has so much to share, so much to offer us, so much wisdom for us. And that is also the key to our femininity and how we move in the world as women in so many different ways. And that passion led me to become a fertility awareness educator, which is understanding our natural cycles in a body-based way, and a kala teacher, which is, you know, the Jewish practices around the cycle to understand it in a spiritual and holistic way.
Beautiful. And that's why we're talking today about femininity and God. So let me just give you guys a little bit of background. My business as a marriage coach for women in business is really integrating all the parts of yourself, especially as a married woman who is also doing business and believes in God and is taking care of everything and everybody and herself. So the four pillars in my work that, you know, part of Connected for Real, part of this world that I've created, is God is at the core, marriage and business are working together, and then you are the container of all that, all the things, right? And that's why it's so important for us to take care of ourselves and so on. And this podcast is created around that framework. So every month we take one topic and attack it from four different angles, from the four pillars. And this month is femininity. And I am so excited that we're getting into this here and now. And this is how we're opening the topic, because femininity is a big loaded topic that we can talk about probably for an entire year on a podcast, especially in this, you know, business, marriage, everything world. But I want to come from the God aspect first, and I want to hear your take on what's the source of everything. Let's start from that.
What do you mean the source of everything? I mean, God is the source of everything, of course. But in this
yeah, but like femininity when it comes to our relationship with God, femininity as why did God create feminine and masculine? Why did he create us this way? You know, it's obviously not a mistake that right. We are different. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that first before we get into other things.
Yeah. So we are, men and women are obviously very different. And that's a big premise of my work as well. Not just understanding the differences, but really owning who we are as women, because so often when we compare ourselves to men, we feel less than, we feel not enough, we feel not, why can't we measure up, but also like almost like proving that we can measure up. And that's almost like that, right? Like the feminist movement came from that energy of like, we can be just as men, and we can if we want to, if we choose that. But there's something in that femininity, in that womanhood, that we're shutting the door on when we go into our masculine. And so many women are in that place right now where it's like, so in their masculine, so in their, you know, like, being out there. And that's really the purpose of like what I teach, the cyclical balance of everything, is that we hold both and that we move in both worlds. But when we shut down the feminine, when we negate the feminine, we're cutting off a very vital part of ourselves. And that's also kind of going into the conversation of God. So the deeper concept, but God is not feminine or masculine. God is not one thing, right? God is all encompassing. So there is a masculine aspect of God and there's a feminine aspect of God. And there are many different expressions and relationships we have with God. And that's, I mean, the most like typical understanding of this is the Shekhinah is the feminine aspect of God, right? The Shekhinah rests, it's a presence. It's not like this action-oriented masculine provider, protector that we have as our, you know, general understanding of God, which is important. We'll get to that, how we relate to that. But the feminine aspect of God is more like the presence, the like filling all, right? The flowing life energy that is in us, through us, around us. That's that aspect that we tap into, that we connect to. But the masculine aspect is important because we embody the feminine, right? Like all creation is an embodiment of God, is a manifestation of godliness. So as women, we embody that feminine aspect. And the more we own it, the more we reveal it, right? And that's compared also to the moon. The moon is also a feminine aspect of God. So it's like, meaning a feminine manifestation of God. So it's like the feminine above, the feminine below, all of creation. And then when we connect to that rhythm, we connect to that cyclical energy, we connect to that life energy, we connect to that femininity, because there's so much around that. We are revealing more of that. We are embodying more of that. And this takes it to a whole different level. We can get into more of this later, but this is actually something I'm teaching a lot right now. We come closer to the final redemption of what the world is coming towards, the messianic era, the world to come, where its femininity is being more revealed. The feminine aspect of godliness is being more revealed. And that's literally our mission in this world as women. We are revealing that because we have that in ourselves.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Okay. So let's put all that together.
Yeah.
The being versus the doing, the ability to sustain life and have an impact without action, right?
Yeah.
It's like, that's a superpower, my friends. It's a superpower. Wow. Let's get a little bit into the laws of Nida, you know, all of that aspect and how it has to do with femininity, why it's designed perfectly for our needs and so on. I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah. I think we have to backtrack first to the biological reality of our cycles. Like, what is our cycle actually? It's not even half of what we know out. Like, what's out there is not even half of what the reality of our cycle is. We don't learn about this. We don't learn the full impact of what our cycle is here to offer us. We learn about, okay, there is a period, and that's what it's about. It's not really what it's about. It's one little point.
Yes, I went to a class, you know, I have four girls first, so I am very involved in the girl school. Mm-hmm. And every time they bring in somebody to speak to the sixth graders or the fifth graders, you know, I usually have somebody in that age group and I come mm-hmm. and I listen. And I love that this is becoming more and more awareness, you know, that was not English. Sorry, guys. I'm so tired. The awareness around what the cycle really is, and that the period is actually like the least of our problem, like quote unquote, but like it's the least exciting thing in the whole cycle. And that is the only thing that we focus on. So yeah, talk more about that.
I wouldn't call it the least exciting part. I really think every single point in the cycle, every single phase of the cycle has something beautiful to offer us. It's just that we're focused on one way is the way. We need to show up the same every day, because that's a masculine mentality. Really a big biological difference in men and women is hormonal, because men also have hormones. It's not just a woman's thing, like you're hormonal. Men and women both have hormones. The male hormonal cycle is a 24-hour cycle. That means every day they have the same process. The female hormonal cycle is a monthly process. So we go through the same cyclical rhythm, but over a longer period of time. So not necessarily will you be the same today as you will be in 2 weeks from now, because we are different every day. We show up differently every day, and that's okay. We don't have to like fit some kind of standard or be this model of perfection every single day. And guess what? Perfection is where you are right now, because right now has something beautiful to offer you. So that's the real wisdom of the cycle, knowing where you are right now, knowing what this moment and this point in time has to offer you.
Ah. So beautiful. People listening are like, okay, I want more.
there's so much here. But the difference, how had to get into this first? I always do this. I go into a tangent and I forget where we started.
Well, so we backtracked to talk about the physical body first, because there's so much to learn from the here and now and what is actually happening. And I want to go into a parenthesis for a second. You know, there is past, present, and future. Mm-hmm. And we can very much be in our minds in the past, in the future, worrying about things, remembering things, being triggered by things. A lot of time we spend in past and future. And you know, mindful movement has taught us to just be in the present, try to get here, right here. This is the only moment you have. But something beautiful is that your body does not have anywhere else to be but now.
Exactly.
Right? So I found
the present moment.
Right. I found that in order to get present, all I need to do is start counting my fingers or feeling into my breath or grounding my feet and, you know, really getting into my body. There is so much wisdom there. And the way that you said, you know, take that to the next level and say, your body is right here, right now, perfect where you are. Mm-hmm. And you just need to pick up on your needs and your wants in this moment so that you know what is expected of you, not the other way around.
To fit some mold that you're not really fitting into. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, this is where we got into it. We were like, hey, it's not just about the period, but the period is also a really potent part. That's a separate thing. We're not even realizing how much power is in the period, because who talks about that, right? But it's also not the only part of the cycle, right? We have different seasons, we have different phases. A beautiful way of describing the way we move through the cycle is actually connecting it to the seasons of the year. So menstruation would be our inner winter. Then we move into our inner spring, right? If you think about when you come out of your period, you like feel more alive, you feel more like that energy. And then we move into ovulation, which is our peak, and that's like the summer. And then we start going down again because the cycle goes up and down and back up and down. And that is our inner autumn, fall, where the leaves start falling from the trees. We shed our own things that we no longer serve us, that we want to like release, and we move into our inner winter again, menstruation, where we are really like really deep within ourselves. Like there's so much, it's a really potent time to just be in touch with ourselves, to be in touch with our intuition, right? So for so many people, intuition feels like a far off concept that we don't connect to. Like what's intuition is just very abstract. It's in our bodies, and we have times when we actually can connect to it a lot more.
Yeah. You know, one of my daughters started a period journal. So when she gets her period, she actually sits down and writes how she's doing and where she's at and where was she last month and what happened between now and then. And it's so beautiful to watch. She will sit herself down and really just reflect. And then the most beautiful thing is she'll turn around and be like, can you imagine? It was only a month ago. It feels like a year ago that this, that, and the other. Because she'll look back and she'll see all the things she wrote last time, and it's amazing to be able to sort of reflect that way with something that's taking you through that one season.
I love that she's doing that already at such a young age. She's like setting herself up for life to like really be in this rhythm and receive what her cycle has to give her.
I know. I'm so proud. Every mother is sitting there going, I want that. But yeah, my kids are awesome.
But it starts with us. You know, our children pick up how we relate to our cycle, how we connect to all this. And it's not, yes, of course, we want to teach them and be open with them and have open conversations, but they also pick up how we connect our femininity. And that's why most of my work that I do now, I mean, sometimes I work with teens, sometimes with college, but most of my work is with married women who, many of them are mothers of young girls. And this work is transforming their daughters as well and future generations, because they're reclaiming something for themselves that will get passed on, because we sense that, right? Like their daughters will sense that from them, how they, you know, are owning their femininity as well.
Yes, yes. And it's something that you can really see very quickly.
Yeah.
Very quickly. When you work on yourself and you transform something within you, it almost automatically shows up in your daughters, and it's such a fun side effect. Just as a side point, it's really worth it. I highly recommend
it. I don't have daughters. I only have boys.
How many boys do you have?
I have three boys.
That's so fun. So when I had girls, you know, I had four girls first. Like my first 10 years were all about girls. Yes, and and everybody is like, you just wait. Now I have two boys and they're cute.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yes, it's really fun to see that they're different even from a young age, but also they're the same, you know? Yeah. it really has to do with your expectations too. When I finally had my boy, people were like, you just wait and see. He's going to do this, that, the other. I'm like, no, I have girls of all different types. So I can't even imagine how irrelevant it is what you're saying right now. And just, you know, my son is so creative and artistic and very sensitive and like so not what they were talking about. So yeah. just so you know, it's all.
Yeah. By the way, I love that you're saying that because we're not about stereotypes. It's not like this is a man, this is a woman, right? Like we all are very unique and we have our own individual, and we have both masculine and feminine. We all do. So we all have like a different configuration of personality and things like that. But it's really like what I'm talking about is a way of moving in the world, a way of responding to the world, a way of being in the world, right? That's different, right? Like even though men and women are very similar in many ways, even when I teach in my fertility awareness course, I teach male and female anatomy because we need to understand how our bodies work. And yes, of course, that's the main difference of men and women physically, but there are also so many connections, so many parallels, so many things that are so the same that we don't even think about. Like, oh, I could understand my husband and what arouses him because I also have some of that. Like there's so much interconnectedness there. So I feel like both are true at the same time. We're very different. We're very much the same. Know what's different, know what's the same and how we move each in our own way. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that we can connect to either or. You know, we can, especially women in business, there's so much masculine energy just by being in business, right?
Building is a business is a masculine concept, right?
Right. And, you know, if you go back and listen to Hannah Mason, for example, she talks about this a lot where she was like very in the masculine and then moved towards the feminine. The way she describes it is so fun because now her business is just sort of like extremely feminine. And how she's running it. She just like puts her love out in the world and it's just like works, you know, but she had to build that. And so you can't expect to do one without the other or create, you know, just like God created us with both.
Yep.
We have to create our businesses with both, but find a really good balance so that you're doing it the way that works for you.
And even in ourselves, because when we are in, like so many women are now in this like healing phase of like reclaiming their femininity, being more of who we are as women, even that requires the masculine container of safety within ourselves, right? Like we need to establish what is our like baseline, what is our foundation, what is like what holds us, right? And when we have that safety, the feminine can flow freely. If we don't have that safety, the feminine is a mess.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I love that you said that the container.
Yeah.
The container is really important. I'm going to go into
that. You're a marriage coach. That's also the structure of marriage as well.
Exactly. I was just going to say, I'm going to go into a tangent, but this is coming out of me.
Yeah.
It's coming out of me. It's almost like I can't hold it in. Mm-hmm. The container of having the husband and the wife and the husband being the container and the wife being that like, you know, free spirit trying to go after things and whatever. Mm-hmm. We don't give the husband enough credit for being that foundation.
Exactly.
And, you know, I have a training where it's called Get Your Husband on Board, where sometimes one of the biggest things my clients would say is like, I just want a team player. And he's so, you know, negative and critical and he's not behind me. And I don't feel supported and all these things that we're all feeling at certain times of our businesses. The thing that we don't realize is that when we really tap into ourselves and figure out what we need, what we want, what lights us up, what we're here to do, it also frees your husband to be the container and the foundation and the support and the ability to hold that space for you.
My college teacher trainer, her name is Rachel Goldbaum. She's amazing. She said one of my best lines that I heard from her. What's the best way to make a man? Right? Everyone's so busy. How do they fix their husbands? How do they get their husbands to this and that? How do you make a man? By being a woman.
Yeah.
So profound. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful to my husband, by the way, because I opened my business, right? And I think like a big factor of why I was able to do it and how I was able to do it was because my husband is the provider. He's the one that's like in charge of, okay, this is our home, this is our family. Like, I'm the man here, I'm the provider. And I'm so grateful for that because I had so much freedom to build this, to do this. Because, I mean, you know what it's like to open a business. It's a huge process. And I don't know if I would have had the safety to do that if not for him. Like, that was my masculine safety to go into this feminine flow of where this passion took me and what we built here. Because it's like, that was a big part of it for me, for sure.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I think a lot of the listeners needed to hear that. And I also want to give the listeners the other side of that. My husband is not the provider. And for us, it was really fascinating to see how my leaning into my femininity actually made it that he was the safety in the container, wow, even without that part of him, right? So it was a whole journey, because one of the biggest mindset shifts that I had to go through was, if you make more money than your husband, then be careful, you know, and this like old wives' tales that scare you and hold you back. Mm-hmm. And when I was able to speak openly and be in that vulnerable place,
yeah,
my husband was so awesome. And sort of, you know, really leaned into, okay, what do we need to do? And the fact that he's so masculine about, okay, let's just get things done. What do you need to do? I do the shopping? I do the cleaning? Sure, I'll do it. Because he just needs to do. He doesn't care that, you know, whatever. He has been so awesome, but only when I started being me. Yeah. Only when I opened up and was as feminine as I could be, then he was able to be that container for me. And I think that was really the shift. So if you're listening, you're saying, oh, well, you know, that's fun for her because, you know, she has that container. It's like, you don't need the container.
Yeah. And also,
really lean in.
Right. Because I love that you shared that, because first of all, I think it's more important for people to see that my story, your story, everyone has a different story. And there's no one way this is right or what it looks like, because it's really more of like an energetic shift or an energetic dynamic of like, what does even a provider mean? What does even a receiver mean? What is it? Like, all those things plays out in so many different ways and so many different dynamics. It's not one way, right? Like, that's what I was saying before. We have these stereotypes of what a man does, what a woman does. And it's not really like that, right? Like, a man could be washing dishes and be extremely masculine to his wife in that action. And a woman could be washing dishes and be extremely feminine to her husband in that action. It's not even about the action or what you're doing or what the actual story plays out as. It's really energetic. It's how we lean into our feminine and how they are inspired to rise into their masculine. It's and it really is connected. It's like, the more we lean into our feminine, the more they rise into their masculine. And I think also, like, there's some resentment around this. Like, some women, I hear this from women of like, oh, so it's all on me. Like, I have to be more my feminine so that he should be in his masculine. It's not like that. It's, first of all, I think people don't realize, like, yes, it's actually an empowering thing. It starts with a woman, not in a way of a pressure, but like, you know, I had this conversation once with a group of friends. We're talking about, is it that a man is masculine to a woman in general, and then a woman comes and receives that? Or is it that a woman activates something in the man once they're in a relationship? Right? There's so much of that dynamic where if a man doesn't have, okay, we can go on so many tangents here, but there's something about birth control that I want to point out. So there was this reel going around a long time ago about how birth control, hormonal birth control, actually affects men, which is wild, because women are taking the birth control and then men are being affected. How? And it doesn't have to be their own wife, just the general idea that women are on birth control and not actually connected to their cycle and ovulating naturally and having that creative rhythm flowing in the world. So if a man senses that there is fertility happening, there's potential of life, the world is going on, he is activated, his hormones are activated to go get stuff done, to go do things, to go build things, to make sure the world is a safe place for humanity. If it's not there, and everyone's just like, whatever, the cycle is shut down, the fertility is shut down, creative flow is shut down, and the way he was saying it, it's totally fine to play video games in grandma's basement. Because it's a response, right? The hormones are a response. We are interdynamic and like responding to each other all the time.
You know what I think is so awesome is we're talking about things that are invisible and they're so hard to comprehend. Like, what does it even mean that her hormones are affecting his hormones, and how do they even communicate, and how, and you know, we could get into the smells and, you know, the like there's so much to this that like my mind is blown at how God created us as humans, and so much genius went into every detail and how everything's affected by everything. It blows my mind. And I want to come back just for a second to that conversation that we just left, because I think there's something that we didn't say that needs to be said. And that is that both of us were talking about who is providing and so on and so forth. But really, we have to remember that the reason why both of our situations are working is because God is providing, and we're both very clear on that. So it doesn't matter what door is coming from, what window it's coming from, what little, you know, whatever, the mechanism is the same, because we're aware of the source. And that is the safety that I'm talking about and that you're talking about. The safety that we're both in understanding that it doesn't actually mean anything about you, right? Just the other day, I was telling my husband, the fact that you have so much trust, exclusive trust on God, is the reason why I can go and do the thing I do, because I don't feel like it's coming through me.
Right?
And
you're the vessel that's bringing this in, but it's really you're together in it.
Exactly. And I'm sure that it's the same with you, knowing that your husband is the provider, but he's not. He's the you know, the pipeline to all of that abundance.
Absolutely.
It means that he's also not scared of you going and having a business, because who cares? It doesn't mean anything about him. It doesn't mean anything about you. And it frees us from having to play a game that is so disconnected, right? Like most of the fights, most of the miscommunications, most of the stuff is the assumptions and the beliefs and all of the, you know, static electricity noise that is going around. When you're disconnected from God, when you don't actually give God all the credit for sustaining us.
I think this goes straight into what the relationship between femininity and God actually is.
Go for it.
So as I was saying before, right, God is both masculine and feminine. We connect to each aspect in different ways. So what does it mean actually to lean into our feminine, to be in our feminine? We need to receive from the masculine protector and provider. But I think so many women fall into this trap of expecting their husbands to be something for them so that they can then lean into their feminine, or so that they can have their safety, like you said, right? But really it starts with being a feminine receiver directly from God. God is that masculine protector. God is that masculine provider. Yes, it can come through in the form of your husband. Absolutely. That's a huge blessing. But it's recognizing the channel, right? And connecting to that and leaning into that femininity of receiving. And that's literally what, I mean, it's such a big part of like Jewish tradition, so many different traditions of, right? Like, let's say receiving the Torah, like it's receiving. What's this receiving? The whole idea of when the receiving of the Torah happened was compared to a marriage ceremony. And God was like marrying us as his bride. This relationship has so many levels, but a big part of it as women, as we connect to God, is as the masculine protector and provider. And it could be men connect to God differently, because men and women are different. Men and women have different ways of moving in the world. So I think that's a big one to remember. Sometimes we learn things, we pick up things that are written in a or shared in a masculine way, in a linear lens. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, we have to know who we are, what we're responding to, and what actually makes us alive, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, because we are different and we need to own that.
I love that. So I ran the Intimacy Masterclass a bunch of times a while back. Now you could buy the replay if you want. People are getting it all the time. It's really fun. And in there, I talk about, you know, the biggest issue is that all the people who, you know, gave us the rules and you know, put it all together, all men. Right. So they're going around going like, give, 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 because that's the advice that, you know, they're men, they're supposed to give. Yeah. And the real advice is receive, receive, receive. Like, this is your superpower. Allow and open up and really be a vessel to contain all of that goodness, all of that abundance.
Exactly.
It is such a different take on intimacy and on life in general, on running your business, on every level.
And I think a lot of women don't even know what it means to receive.
So let's talk about that.
It's not taking what someone gives you. It's not really that. It's like you said, opening a vessel, being a container for something to flow into, for something to have a space to hold, right? I definitely see this with, like, let's say working with clients, right? That's a masculine role for me, right? I'm providing to a client, you know, an experience, and she's receiving from me. You probably know this too. It's a huge satisfaction when someone is actually a vessel to receive, right? Like, they're actually able to receive what you're here to offer. They're actually able to, like, literally fill up with all the goodness that you're sharing. It's like so it's the most incredible feeling in the world for both. Yeah.
I think of it as nursing, you know, more than we are going all over the place because it's so interconnected. When the baby wants the nurse, the baby is receiving, but more than the baby wants the nurse, the mother wants to nurse it, right? Like, there is a need to give.
And motherhood is a masculine. It's funny. It's as funny as it sounds, because mother is a woman, but motherhood is a masculine role that we carry as women.
Yes. Yes. And I was just thinking that when you were speaking about it, the baby is the receiver, and suddenly we become the provider and the giver. And then we can really get into that mindset of what is a man going through? What is God going through? I mean, you know, totally it's not.
God. I mean, we're compared to an infant.
Yes, you know, but I say, don't take this in like a, you know, don't get all like whatever on me. Obviously, God is different. God is God. But God wants to give.
He created these experiences for us to understand him better.
Exactly. God wants to give. And for us to understand, some people, and we're going to get into like big topics here because they're just coming up and I can't hold myself back, but like worthy and deserving. When a woman says, I don't deserve blah, blah, or I'm not worthy of, you know, I don't know what. Hello. It matters less about what you think you deserve. It matters more about what God wants to give. And he's sitting there going, just nurse already. Like, just take this from me. I want to give you. And you're like, I don't know, you know, maybe I'm not worthy. Like, if a baby would sit around and like ponder if he's worthy of, you know, nursing today.
We have conversation issues that we struggle with.
What?
The baby's latching problems and all these things that we struggle with.
Exactly. And like, who is in more pain, the baby or you? Like, so I think of it and I think to myself, it is such an important thing for us to experience, like you said, experience both male and female, feminine and masculine, because we have to be able to understand. In order to receive, you also need to be on the giver side to understand how much the giver wants to give and not make it about yourself. Being a receiver does not mean that this is about you. Right. And this is something that's really important to talk about. Hey, before we continue the episode, I want to ask you something. Are you ready to get answers from God directly? Feel more in love with your husband and more supported than ever? Run the business of your dreams without having to sacrifice any other part of your life? That is exactly what my one-on-one private coaching is for, and I want to invite you, just you and me, for a free deep dive discovery call. This is a 60-minute free call where I ask you lots of questions and we extract the three main things that are holding you back. I then put together a personalized plan for you where I create a roadmap of recommendations with practical steps. The call is free and so valuable in itself, so go book yours today. Now, back to the show.
Something jumped out at me, what you said earlier. I think worthiness is receiving. Like, when you do the work of self-worth and self-love and making yourself available for everything you deserve and everything God wants to send you in life, like, all the blessings in the world, you are receiving.
Yeah.
That's like really powerful, because I think that's a big struggle that a lot of women have. Like, I don't deserve, I don't feel worthy, I'm not enough, I need to do more. Do more is the past one. I need to do more. That's not feminine. You don't need to do more to receive what's coming to you.
Exactly. You know, I had one client who said, I pray so much and I do so much good and I just need to do more in order to receive, you know, what I, whatever.
Masculine thinking. Yeah.
And I was like, no, how about you just be? Like, I don't know how to do that. Because listen to the language. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do being. Exactly. We don't do being. You just be being.
You know what's funny? It's the feminine is compared to Shabbos, which is the Jewish Sabbath, right? It's compared to the world to come. It's compared to any resting state that is meant to completely take in the experience that you worked for, right? Think about end of the week, 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. It's really about like, okay, you worked, but for what? Like, the life is about work. Life is just about doing it. And when are you going to actually receive it? When are you actually going to be with it? When are you actually going to enjoy it? Like, feminine is so much about pleasure, joy, receiving, being, like all the things that we were like just guilted about, like just shamed about. Like, no, life is not about pleasure. You have to earn it, or you don't deserve it. But that's really the experience that God wants for us, because yeah, we do the things. I'm not worried that you're not doing what you need to do. Like our world is set up for that. So this world was literally created to stimulate doing and action. It's the linear world. It's literally the linear world. This is where we live in, Kabbalistically, physically, whatever you want, however you want to look at it. But the role of the feminine here is to actually take that work and that's the whole point of it. What's the whole point of working?
Yeah, culminate it.
Yeah.
It's where everything comes together. It's so beautiful.
Even in like the emotional and spiritual work, right? Like everyone is working on themselves, right? And that's beautiful. but the feminine part of it is, okay, do you acknowledge all the healing you've done? Are you able to be with, like, think of a trigger that you had 5 years ago that can happen now and you are in a completely different place. Are you actually like cherishing that so much? Because this is like just an acknowledgement of how far you've come, like that celebration, that being with all you've created, like that's the enjoyment of the feminine. That's the pleasure that we're here for. That's her job to bring into the world more.
You know, that's the fourth step in my fourth step program. It's called the Calm Method. And, you know, step four is master a higher level of consciousness. And the way you do that is by celebrating, by acknowledging, by being in that celebration, in that mind-blowing moment where it's like, oh, it actually worked. And now I have to just be in it, you know?
It's the hardest part for people.
It is the hardest part. And you know what I was just realizing while you're talking, I'm like, wait, I think step one is also feminine, which is connecting to yourself and knowing what you want. Yeah. And so like, wow, really? I think out of the four steps, two are for sure feminine. You know, ask for abundance is speaking to God and, you know, asking. So I'm not sure where that falls, but listen for the answer is very masculine. Like that's where you're taking action. Well, but then you're also listening for the answer. So you're turning it feminine.
It's very similar. Like I support women in fertility and cycles and hormone balance. And we go through like a really similar process where it's first about reconnecting to the feminine, reconnecting to the self, reconnecting to your cycle, reconnecting to God. And then we have the space, right? We created that safety. So we have the space for the healing and the nourishment that we need to do. Yeah, there is some action involved. There is a masculine process as well of building and supporting ourselves. And then we have that process of alignment. Like, yes, we are coming into balance. We are receiving. We are being with it. I think it's just a universal pattern of everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's so fun. It's so fun. Like sitting around, it's like all these like little clicking, you know, in my head, like, oh, cool. Oh.
And another cool thing I had this beautiful feedback from someone who's in my embodied course. I give a course on fertility awareness. So a little brief of what fertility awareness method is. It's basically a natural form of birth control where you don't have to take any hormones or synthetic anything in your body. You're aligned with your cycle. You're aligned with your natural rhythm. You're feminine. You're so much more connected with yourself. And you also get to know, we only have like about 5 to 7 days every cycle that we can actually get pregnant. So you get to know exactly when that is for you and what kind of protection you want to use then. And then you have knowledge about your cycle, which is so powerful. And like beautiful feedback that I got from someone was like, you know, she did all this healing work and inner child work and all the emotional and spiritual and mental stuff. And then now it's like physical, it's in her body, in her feminine being, right? We're connected to the cycle. It's just, that's what like this step that we're talking about now, like receiving it. Like she feels like she's embodying it. Like that's so powerful. Like, oh, my body's receiving, my hormones are feeling nourished, like almost like an inner child. And like I'm caring for myself. And it's just, things are just clicking. And I think that's the most beautiful part of this, like the resonance, the alignment, the culmination, like you said, that's literally what the world to come is about, what redemption is about, what Sabbath is about, all those things. And of course it goes to redemption because that's actually the something that I'm offering now. I mean, whoever's live will still be able to join us, but it, you know, by the time this podcast is probably going to be after, but maybe we'll offer it again because I feel like it's so powerful. It's called Redemptress. And literally it's about accessing the inner redemptress in ourselves, how we can receive redemption. Because redemption is not about, you know, Mashiach, like the Messiah coming to ride towards us and save us. It's about us being ready to receive that. And that's super feminine. That's why the women, like traditionally, we know that the women were always the one who brought redemption throughout history, because it was really about being in our feminine, being in that vessel of, yes, we are so ready. We are so receiving this. This is so happening. Like this is already happening. And like, and it really comes into our life today, regardless of whether the whole world is ready for it or not. Like if we are ready for it, we see it in our life more and more. And of course, the more people can actually reclaim this, then it has a global impact as well, which that's like, I think.
Yes. Yes. I talk about the feminine leadership that's really rising now. Feminine leadership is not the same as male.
Mm-hmm.
It's or masculine.
Right.
When the men are in charge, there's one guy in charge and everybody's supporting him. And, you know, that's just how it is. When the women are in charge, they fly in a flock, they support each other, and they keep taking turns who's leader because they have cycles and they don't need to be at the top every single day, all the time. Yeah. So it's, you know, my podcast is successful because I'm constantly bringing people up and showing other people who's available to work with. I have so many of my clients listening to my podcast who are hiring people who have been guests because that's the point. The point is here's all these women who are making a change, who are making an impact, who are really leaning into their femininity and available to serve in a way that is in alignment. And that way of leading is so different. And that's really what, you know, the redemption is all about. It's raising the level of consciousness of everybody, not just like, you know, raising a person.
And I'm envisioning something really beautiful here because the masculine is a line, is linear, right? Like I get from point A to B, I do this, I get this result. That's masculine thinking, right? So masculine is also like top down, right? Like the whole world for thousands of years was all about like hierarchy. Like I'm on top, you're on bottom. Like, right? Kings and queens, like everything was top down. We're moving in a direction where things are more like the feminine is a circle. So if you think about a circle, who's really on top and who's on bottom? Like this here, she can be the leader of the circle right now. And then we're going to move to the next one. It's like the leader is not on top of anyone. It's the same circle. And that's literally what it says about God, that in the future, in the times of redemption, we will form a circle around God. Like God will be equidistant from everyone. It's not like there's a rabbi who has higher access and you have to learn from him as a student. No, we all have equidistant access to God. We all have that. And we are in that messianic time of redemption where we are experiencing more of that. We are having more of that like individual experience. And that's really what feminine is. Feminine is a circle. Masculine is a line. And we need both because if you think about it, both are true. It's just if you're zooming out or if you're zooming in, because if you're walking on a line and then you zoom out and you're like, oh, that was the outline of the circle.
Mm.
So it can be the same truth, but what's your perspective? Where are you looking at it from?
Oh, that was so marriage, you know, marriage advice stuff. Like notice that you're looking at the same thing from two different perspectives. I love that. It's so genius. Like poo.
Yeah, there's so much there.
Yeah, this is great. This is great.
We didn't even get to like, you started talking about Nida and the laws of like family purity and taharas hamishpacha, right? And yeah. I said, first, let's go to actually understanding what our cycle is about, because these laws are connected to the biology of our cycle. It's not just random, like, let's just put these laws onto you for, you know, just for fun. Like, it's hard for a lot of people. But if we understand the wisdom of how our cycle works, and we understand, oh, we're not the same every day. We're not in the same relationship every day. We're not the same woman every day. We have different stages where we actually sometimes do need more introspection, more leaning inward. And sometimes there are times in the month where we're more outward. And that actually very much aligns with the process. I call it like a, and you're going to love this as a marriage coach, I call it a courtship. Like, we literally date our spouses every month again, because we have this separation. Like, let's zoom out. Let's go back. Where are we at? Check in. And then coming closer again. And like, there's this dating process every month, and there's this reunion every month. And it's beautiful. And at the same time, I also validate that it is challenging, because I work with women who are like looking to strengthen this, and they're coming from a place where it's challenging for them. And these perspectives are helpful, but it also has to come from within. It's not just about a mindset shift. It's about really owning your femininity, owning your cycle, and understanding how this is really so aligned for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in a class where they were going into each organ in the feminine system cycle, yeah, and learning from each organ. Like, every week was an organ, and I think it was either 5 or 6 weeks. It was mind-blowing. They went into so many details that I obviously, you know, I thought I knew it all, but I did not, because it was just fabulous how they presented this. And they took it to the next level of what that means about the world, about us, about how we interact, how it was fantastic. And they called it Ruya Le'ava, which is worthy of love.
Mm.
And I thought that was such a good name, because knowing yourself and getting to understand how your body works is going to make you fall in love with yourself, absolutely, with your body, with God, with the understanding of, whoa, like, you know, we don't even get a tip of the iceberg of what is actually going on.
I created the embodied course. Literally, I say, your Kala teacher, right? Like, whoever prepared you for marriage or growing up did not teach you this. You did not learn this in biology class. Like, this is the truth about your body, about your cycle, about your fertility and hormones. And we have like a 8-week course on that. So it's,
yeah. And I highly recommend anybody who is like, yeah, I know enough, it's fine. Like, no, take the course. Take any course that tells you they're going to talk to you about these things, because knowing and digging deep is going to find parts in you that you didn't even know existed. So, so powerful. And so one of my teenagers was listening in on one of the classes. And in that class, they said that you should be aware of your period,
mm-hmm,
how, you know, what it feels like, what it looks like, what's going on, the differences, you know, from time to time, because it really reflects what you've been going through in the last month. A hard month is going to bring a hard period. You know, mm-hmm, a lot of times you're going to feel like, oh, I finally, like, you know, I'm realizing now how I wasn't really attentive, or I was working too hard, or I was, you know, pushing myself, or I had a lot of emotions this month, whatever it is. By the way, different teenagers. I love that my kids are all coming up today. But anyway, that awareness that it doesn't have to be the same every month makes it that you actually don't have to experience it the same every month. You know, it almost like changes your expectation. I think I remember when I had my first baby and I was pregnant with my second one, and I was talking to every woman I knew. Like, I basically interviewed the entire world and their mother about giving birth and how do I do it? Like, what did you do? How did you figure it out? And one lady said, I never feel contractions. That's what she said to me. Mm-hmm. I have zero feeling of contractions. I only know when I feel like pushing and it's already too late. And therefore I just end up, you know, giving birth at home and the ambulance has to come and blah, blah, blah. And I thought to myself, that's a possibility, you know, like in my mind, it was either like, you know, hurt to more hurt, and to like, you know, the way it looks on TV hurt. But like, not in a million years did I think that it stretched all the way to zero. Absolutely. And as soon as she
said, with pain as well, by the way, you can have a pain-free period.
They're obviously, you know, connected. But the second she said there is zero pain, I said to myself, that's possible. Like, just the understanding, there is so much now that I could experience, right? It's not only this part of the entire prism. It's like I could experience any color of the prism. And I just didn't know.
Black and white, we have full color.
Yeah. I did not even know that was possible. But guess what? As soon as she said it, my brain just like reprogrammed itself. And it was like, okay, well, now we got to figure out where we are on the spectrum. And it gave me more freedom to find myself where I wanted to be on the spectrum. Like, I want to feel it, but I don't want to die. So I'm going to be somewhere in between where I feel really comfortable. Thank God for that lady, because now I have 8 kids and I don't think I could have continued if I didn't hear her say that. Like, she doesn't even realize how powerful what she said to me was, but it opened up my mind. And I think for women who have a hard period, or for women who have a hard time with their, you know, keeping the laws, knowing only what you know is creating the reality of hard and frustrating and, you know, miserable. Opening yourself up to realizing that actually it could be so different. You just have to widen the spectrum of awareness. Why, I love watching how you just took that breath. It was almost like, that was so feminine.
And what you're describing is a relationship. I think this is like the key. Like, this is what I teach in my embodied course. You're opening a relationship with your body, with your cycle. Like, most people don't think of it that way. But when you're in a relationship, you're not just trying to control the other, force the other to do something for you, whatever. You're in communication, right? And our body is in constant communication with us. Our cycle is in constant communication with us. Do we have the language to listen? Do we know how our body is communicating with us? And that's literally what fertility awareness and cycle awareness is. We're like understanding the language of our body, the language our body speaks to us, and opening that line of communication, opening that relationship of like, oh yeah, I don't have to have the same period every month. Oh, my period is telling me something. Wait, yes, I had a very stressful month. And making those connections, first of all, releases so much of the charge and also makes it more meaningful, and also really gives you back a lot of control as well, because you're like, oh yeah, maybe there's something I can do about that stress in my life. I mean, not always is there, but like, there's always some level of choice of maybe how I hold myself in it. Maybe there are some changes I can do. Maybe there's some boundaries to put up. Like, our cycle is telling us how we can be the best version of ourselves for ourselves. And then of course it extends to others as well, but we need to like really reclaim that for ourselves. And what you were saying before about the different body parts reflecting different traits, I could tell you one thing that I teach in the course about the cervix: boundaries. Because the cervix opens and closes at specific times of the month based on what it lets in and what it doesn't let in. And you have, as a feminine woman who has a cervix, your cells in your body are literally doing this. You can do this as well in your life and like have that discernment of like, it's not, boundaries are not about shutting out. The cervix is not closed. It opens and closes depending on what the situation is. And that's literally what the essence of boundaries is, right? Like, that's also something people are very confused about. Like, okay, I'm just going to cut people out of my life. No, it's not even like, you don't even have to tell the other person necessarily. It's just something that you have inside yourself of like, this is what I am standing for. This is what I'm not standing for. This is what I'm putting up in myself. And boundaries is such a feminine trait. There's like, there's the spheros. How do we translate that? These energetic Kabbalistic principles, I guess. And like the two first ones are chesed, which is loving kindness, and gevura, which is strength. And you would think that chesed is feminine and gevura is masculine, because strong is men and compassionate is women, but it's actually the opposite. The masculine is that providing, that giving, that chesed, that loving kindness. And the feminine is that strength, the boundaries, because otherwise we can't be a receiver. Because what, you're just going to like let everything into your life, and then what? What are you going to have then? It's what are you choosing to receive, and then receiving it intentionally.
I love that. I love that. You know, I was in a class last week. Was it this week? Man, life goes by so fast. Anyway, this week I went to Katya Bulletin. She's a musician and an amazing woman. and she had a class in her house, and I went and I really enjoyed it. And she said something really powerful. She said, when it rains on the concrete, nothing happens. And when it rains on the ground, something grows. And so the answer isn't that it's, you know, it's not raining. It's raining all the time. God's abundance is all the time. And the question is, are you closed up and tight and not letting anything in? Or are you willing to be the vessel? Are you able to open up? Are you going to let yourself contain all of that abundance and then let that growth and that development happen through you? I thought that was so powerful.
Yeah. I think just the essence of the, like, this topic, femininity and God, I think what wraps it up a lot is what we spoke about is the A, embodying the feminine aspect of God, the divine feminine, the Shekhinah. How do we do that? By knowing our femininity, knowing our cycle, understanding how our body works, understanding how we move in the world as women, and receiving from the masculine God, the masculine protector and provider, as women, opening ourselves as a vessel. And it's such a process. It's such a process. This is the secret to full womanhood, like being exactly who we're meant to be as women, having a thriving life, having the fullness of everything we're meant to receive, and being fulfilled, like having that thriving. Like, it's not just about like getting over the pain or moving through the challenges of the day to day. It's, I am in my full aliveness. I am in my full thriving because I'm connected to the life force in me that's flowing through my cycle. And it's, again, we go through different parts of the cycle and there's gifts in each one, right? There's the menstruation is more of a receiving energy, more of a being energy, and ovulation is more going out there and putting our gifts to the world. But we move through both energies, and in the fullness of it, we are a cycle, we are a circle, we are equidistant from God, we are all receiving directly from Him.
Yeah, I love that. I love that even within the cycle, there is the masculine and the feminine, right? It's so fascinating. And I think the main thing that we spoke about today was opening up to receive. And a lot of people don't know how to do that or even what that means. So do you have like a practical question or something that people can really come out of this podcast pondering? How can I open myself up to receive?
What's your relationship with trust?
Tell me more.
So there's trusting yourself, trusting your body, trusting your spouse, if that's relevant, and really at the center of it, trusting God. And that's a really deep one because first you have to decide, what is your relationship with God and how are you receiving from Him?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that really wraps up the femininity and God theme here. Wow. Yeah. Whew. I love it. I love it. Tell people how they can find you and how they can work with you.
So I'm on social media, mostly on Instagram at Reclaim Womanhood. That's the best place to reach me. Like, if you can, you can always DM me, you can say hi. I'm offering a few exciting things now. So first of all, I have my fertility awareness course that I mentioned. What I love about that is that it's super practical. Like, we need to have this information about our bodies, and it works for both. If you're trying to conceive naturally, if you want to avoid pregnancy naturally, if you want to understand your hormonal health, it's a beautiful blueprint, understanding our cycles and how we can, you know, support ourselves physically. But through that, like, the whole essence of my course is really spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical, you know, really supporting our cycle, understanding our cycle. So I offer that right now twice a year. And the next one is going to be right after Pesach. We're starting the last week of April. And then we'll have probably another one in the fall. And it's lifetime membership, because I believe that if you are coming here and having access to this information, you should always be able to come back to it, because we change so much as women. We go through different life stages. We cover postpartum and nursing and how that affects your fertility and how you can track your cycle naturally and not have to go on birth control then as well. We cover coming off birth control. We cover perimenopause, all the different life stages and how you can really understand your cycle through everything. Yeah, so that's the 8-week course. It's called Embodied. And you can find all the information on my Instagram, on my website. My website is reclaimwomanhood.com. Then there are these like little immersions that I offer. And the one I'm really excited about now is Redemptress. And that's a 1 week immersion that is not only a teaching, like, of course, I teach you all the beautiful teachings of what it means for women to be the vessels of redemption, but it's also experiential because you get to experience in your life today, right? Sometimes we think of redemption as this far off concept that's just not relevant to me because whatever, whenever Mashiach comes, like, it's not me right now. But in your life, what's your exile? What's your pain? What's your struggle? And how can you bring redemption to that through connecting to your feminine? So I think that's very relevant and very powerful in our lives today. And then in the summer, so when this podcast airs in the summer, this will probably be live, is my Secrets of Nida immersion, which is also going to run similar as Redemptress. It's going to be teachings, beautiful teachings about the real essence of Nida. Nobody really talks about this because most of the conversations of Taharas HaMishpacha, family purity, are mostly focused on mikvah immersion and coming back and like the laws and all that. I really focus on what is your power in the Nida state, in the separation? How can you really connect to yourself? Because the secret to connecting in union and marriage is to be a whole individual, because we want two individuals creating a whole, not two halves. I know we're sold this lie that you're the other half, but no, we need to be whole. So that's what the Nida process is really all about. Yeah, and then I offer one-on-one support as well for people who are looking to get pregnant, looking to balance their hormones, looking to understand their femininity and their cycles in a deeper way.
That's amazing. That's so fun. That's great. I love it. Oh, thank you so much for being here. There's so much we covered. I just want to like sit here and enjoy it. I feel like I don't want to hang up. I want us to all like sit here and just like let it soak in.
Yeah, such a powerful conversation. It was so beautiful.
Yes, it's so beautiful. You know, there's a part of me that wants to remind everybody that you can go on my website, connectedforreal.com. And I have a 3-month coaching program and, you know, you can come and get my intimacy masterclass, but I don't even feel like saying anything. I'm like, all the links are below. I'm just enjoying this moment. You left me in this like
in feminine fashion.
We are. Yes. Yes. You left me in this like nice and, you know, nice, warm, fuzzy state of being. It feels so good. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for this conversation.
I love that we did this together.
Yes. Thank you so much. And to all you listening, thank you so much for being here. And don't forget to be back next week for another amazing episode. We're going to go into femininity and you. So make sure you subscribe and don't forget to be connected for real.
And that's it. Thank you for listening to the very end. I would love if you can leave a review and subscribe to the podcast. Those are things that tell the algorithm this is a good podcast, and make sure to suggest it to others. Wouldn't it be amazing if more people became more connected for real? And now take a moment and think of someone who might benefit from this episode. Can you share it with them? I am Revetzin Batchen Grossman from connectedforreal.com. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget, you can be connected for real.